Welcome to All Sides with Ann Fisher. Ann Grimes, musician, music journalist, song collector, the Columbus native, died too soon to finish her book on the hundreds of songs and the decades she devoted to her passion, but not too soon to make an indelible mark on the history of music, not just in Ohio, but the nation. Released in June, Stories from the Ann Grimes Collection of American Folk Music by Ann Grimes was compiled and edited by her four daughters. It's available now. Joining us a bit later will be folk music scholar and performer Hank Arbaugh. But right now, two of Ann Grimes' daughters are with us today. Sarah Grimes, welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
And also Jennifer Grimes Kay. Glad you could join us, Jennifer.
Thank you, Ann.
You know, twice I came across this quote from your mother in preparation for the show today. She said, "Everybody thinks you find folk music in the hills. You don't. It's in people's heads." When did she say that and why? Jennifer?
Well, the quote is quoted from an interview that was given, I believe, when she sang at the inaugural of John Gilligan. There was a gala celebration, mm-hmm. and she was interviewed by the Columbus Citizen Journal at that time. And I think that comes from that article. And it is true that that's the way she saw it. She really saw music as being held in the hearts and minds of individuals. There just seemed to be certain people and certain families that were the keepers of the songs, and it didn't matter where they lived. And in fact, many of her key contributors that are discussed in the book lived in the Columbus area.
She's known for collecting songs from the big cities of Ohio as well as rural areas, but predominantly known for collecting them from the big cities, and that was a lot different than a lot of other song collectors. Right, Sarah?
Well, I think it wasn't, I wouldn't say primarily in the big cities, but also in the big cities.
Okay.
I think one of her, the source of that, you find them not in the hills, but in any place where people are gathered or want to sing along with work or play or whatever. But it has a specific meaning, I think, for her, too, in that her family was from Richland County, early settlers. And that was originally part of the Northwest Ordinance. And many of those people were from British American backgrounds who early settled that area, whether they were rural or urban. But they came from basically kind of middle-class educated backgrounds, which was the case of her own family.
Mm-hmm.
So I think she also had somewhat of that in mind from that.
Well, let's listen to Ann Grimes sing a lullaby called "Hush, My Babe," and then we'll talk about that.
Okay.
Hush, my babe, lie still and slumber. Holy angels, guard thy bed. Heavenly blessings without number, gently falling on thy head.
Ann Grimes was host of a music program on WOSU Radio from 1940 to 1942, and during one program, a guest called in sick, so she sang some of her grandmother's songs. Yeah, and the response was tremendous. A song like that, because that did come from her family, right?
Oh, yes, that did. Hush, My Babe. And, of course, she sang it to us as children, as her mother did to her. It's an interesting song. Mother traced its roots to Jean-Jacques Rousseau, the philosopher who was also a copyist for musicians. And the words to the great English hymnologist Isaac Watts, who wrote Joy to the World. And she says in her book that it was common not only in her family, but throughout the Midwest.
She also collected dulcimers, something else she was widely known for. It's kind of half of the other half of the story, maybe in a way. Tell us about that instrument and what attracted her to it.
Well, she had really two major collections. One was the dulcimers, and one is the tape-recorded folk music.
Mm-hmm.
And the collection of dulcimers now resides at the Smithsonian Institution, and the folk music tapes, the original tapes, are at the American Folklife Center at the Library of Congress. The dulcimers were kind of came along after she was already very much involved in collecting the music and came as a surprise to her to discover that there were traditional dulcimer players in Ohio. She just didn't know. She'd heard about the dulcimer. She knew about it. She read about it. And she found her first dulcimer in North Carolina. And when she came back and started using that with her performances, she found that people knew about dulcimers in Ohio.
Why did she decide to learn to play? She's a very musical person, obviously, and it probably presented a wonderful challenge. But was it necessary to her to learn the instrument?
That's an interesting question. She played the auto harp before she played the dulcimer. I think she was really taken with the instrument. I'm just guessing, but she really loved unaccompanied singing, the real traditional singing where there was no accompaniment.
Mm-hmm.
And although she became very skilled at playing the dulcimer, she talked about that she liked simple counter harmonies and using the dulcimer as almost a percussion instrument to accompany singing. I honestly think she liked the simplicity of the instrument. This is Sarah speaking, by the way.
Did you want to say something, Jennifer?
I think she was very taken with the dulcimer, and I think my father was very taken with him as well, as a folk instrument. And he was part of the hunt for finding them. I think they really appreciated them as folk art as well.
Yes, they're beautiful.
And everyone is kind of like a snowflake.
Yeah.
Everyone's a little bit different, I know that.
And beautifully made, and beautiful woods.
Yes. And the first one she got was from Wade Martin, who is known for his carving of folk tableaus or people in the mountains of North Carolina more than he is for his dulcimers. So they're very beautifully done. And actually, Mother met Wade Martin through his father, Marcus Martin, who was a fiddle player, a well-known fiddle player. And he also made Mother a dulcimer. So she has, you know, lots of interesting history about how she found the dulcimers and how they came to her also, that she really appreciated.
We're talking about stories from the Ann Grimes Collection of American Folk Music. It's by Ann Grimes. Ann is deceased now, and her daughters are with us today, Sarah and Jennifer, Sarah Grimes and Jennifer Grimes Kay. They are two of the four daughters that edited and compiled the stories in the book. If you have a question or comment, give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. We have plenty more music coming up. But first, I wanted to talk, we talked about the two collections, one, the dulcimers, and the other one, the songs that she collected on the tape recorder. And really, the tape recorder, wasn't quite called that at the time, really set her free.
Yes, it did. She was a trained musician and could notate music herself. And so before she had the tape recorder, she did write notations, and we include several of her original notations in the book. But the tape recorder really, you're right, it did. And because, you know, she could just really concentrate on listening and talking. And not only did she record the singing, but when you listen to the tapes, there's so much interesting discussion, too, about the lore and the context. And I think that's part of why she was able to learn so much about the background.
She must have looked at the, by the time, by 2004, must have looked at those little digital recorders with not a little bit of envy there?
Yes, because that original tape recorder that she used, the Magnacorder, which is a wonderful tape recorder, and the reels that was reel to reel are as good as gold today as they were then, and wonderful replication of sound. But it weighed 50 pounds.
Right. that's part of why maybe your dad went with her sometimes?
I kind of think maybe.
Her children.
Well, yeah, I was going to say the passion of hers involved the entire family, especially your father, James Grimes. Tell us how they did work together.
Jenny?
Well, he was very supportive and encouraging of her work. He was a professor of fine arts and painting at Ohio State University at the time, and he was by nature a mentor, an encourager of people. And she acknowledged him among her important mentors. As I say, he had a real appreciation for folk art. He came himself from a family with deep roots in Ohio, from Guernsey County, and he himself loved music. And he grew up in Asheville, North Carolina, and they both shared a love of people, and so I think they worked together as a team. When I sat down, really not until the 1990s, and really listened to the tapes, did I realize just how many of the taped interviews my father was part of.
Oh,
he was just an eager, wonderful audience member.
Well, and also a wonderful chronicler himself. He's a great photographer.
Mm-hmm.
And that black and white photography, really nothing beats it.
Yeah.
Right. We really appreciate not only the documentation of Mother's work, but how he captured the character, intelligence, and passion of the singers that she recorded in photograph. Yeah, they're wonderful.
How much, is there a way to measure how much didn't get in the book?
Oh, gosh, that's the painful question.
I bet.
It's so many, many good songs and people. I mean, we just couldn't, we had to cut. Some of them were extremely painful to do that.
That's right. There is a CD I want to mention. There is a CD as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's just a small, the book itself is a small sampling of the number of songs and the number of people that Mother talked to. So I think one of our hopes is, and I'm sure this would have been Mother's hope, is that the book will point not only scholars, but anybody that's interested in folk music to the collection at the Library of Congress.
We're going to take a short break now. When we return, we'll continue to talk about Ann Grimes and the book, Stories from the Ann Grimes Collection of American Folk Music, compiled and edited by Sarah Grimes, Jennifer Grimes Kay, both of whom are talking with us today, and also their sisters, Mary Grimes and Mindy Grimes. Joining us in the next segment is Hank Arbaugh. He's a music scholar and performer and has known Ann Grimes and went to high school with you, Sarah. So there we go. Maybe we can dig up some old stories there. If you have a question or comment, 614-292-8513 or email us on allsides@wosu.org or go to the All Sides with Ann Fisher Facebook page and check us out there. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on WOSU 820 NPR News.
This is WOSU 820 NPR News, and at noon, Fresh Air will be here with a discussion of letting go. Fresh Air will discuss the difficult decisions facing terminally ill patients and their doctors. And then also on Fresh Air at noon, Steve Carell and Jay Roach talk about making their new movie, Dinner for Schmucks. Join us at noon for Fresh Air on WOSU 820 NPR News.
Support for WOSU comes from the Columbus Foundation, celebrating our nationally ranked library, zoo, and science museum. With donors and funds in 33 Ohio counties, the Columbus Foundation, where your philanthropy and your community come together.
77 degrees in downtown Columbus at 11:20 this morning. A few clouds lingering throughout the morning and a chance of rain, and then sunshine in the afternoon at a high of 85. Clear skies tonight and a low of 60 degrees. Sunshine and a few clouds for Friday and a high of 82. All Sides continues on WOSU 820 NPR News.
Welcome back to All Sides with Ann Fisher. You just heard Ken Ward playing the lap dulcimer, which he called the dulcerine. Ken Ward's daughter, Kendra Ward of Bidwell, Ohio, continues the family traditions of singing and dulcimer playing. She plays the hammered dulcimer, quite a different instrument. Ann Grimes writes about Ken Ward in her book, The Stories from the Ann Grimes Collection of American Folk Music. It's edited by two of my guests today, Sarah Grimes and Jennifer Grimes Kay. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Joining us now, Hank Arbaugh. He's a music scholar and performer, and he's known Ann Grimes since 1963 when you met her at the Sacred Mushroom Coffee House. Welcome to the show,
correct.
Hank. Tell us about those days.
Well, the in 1963 was perhaps one of the greatest coffee houses in the country. It was frequented by people who went on to music careers. The most famous is Phil Oakes, who is on a par with Bob Dylan as far as writing topical songs, but also Tom Ewing, who was the last guitar player with Bill Monroe, and Fred Starner, who collected hobo songs and sang them around the country, and Dr. Francis Utley's son, Scott Utley, too many to mention. And the academic community came to the Sacred Mushroom, and they interacted quite frequently.
Now, where was it located?
It was across the street from the Student Union.
Okay, and so right across High Street.
Uh-huh.
Tell me about, Sarah and Jennifer, Hank and I were talking during the break about how beautiful your mother was. And you can just look at pictures of her and you can kind of see that inner beauty as well. What was she like, Hank?
Well, she was, I would call her zealously boisterous in her authority. but at the same time, she was vulnerable and sweet and a very gentle person. She had a great personality. In fact, if either one of us said something funny, she would just have this loud laugh that was very contagious.
Is that how you remember her, Sarah, Jennifer?
Yeah,
that's
good.
See, it's hard to ask you. You're a kid, so, it's a little bit different. But tell us about the significance of Anne Grimes to the folk music community, Hank.
Oh, she founded the Ohio Folklore Society. She brought many guests, some of which are in the book, John Boddicker in particular, in the days when I was a member. She interacted with the academic community at Ohio State. Her collections were starting to get known among, performers at the Sacred Mushroom Coffee House.
Let's hear from Anne Grimes again. She's singing Arthur Emerson Kiefer's version of a murder ballad based on true events, the only public execution in Tuscarawas County, Ohio. 800 people witnessed the execution. Let's hear that now.
As I come home, dear mother, I'll tell you what I see. Tell you of a young man that hanged on a tree. He was fair and neat and handsome, light hair and blue eyes. He wrought his own ruin by seeking a prize. These words are as true words as ever has been told. Funston, a youth about 20 years old, a fair-looking young man as ever you did see, yet he hanged by his neck from a black walnut tree.
That is Anne Grimes singing the song John Funston. The lyrics we just heard have departed from the original events in Ohio, and Anne Grimes says that Arthur Kiefer's version differs so choicely in detail from earlier versions of this song. For her, the changing versions of a song are as important as anything. Hank, can you explain why that is?
Well, versions of ballads and songs differ greatly from area to area. And I was looking over her book, and in the version of Gypsy Davy, which is in the Chow Collection, number 200, the version that I do ends with the lady saying that she'd rather sleep outdoors than on a warm feather bed with her husband. But in the version in Anne's book, the woman actually, gypsy, is actually killed by the husband. And there are differences like this all over. And that's what makes the ballad so interesting.
It's like a dialect,
mm-hmm,
almost.
Right. And you, the quotation that Anne makes about how this version's differences are a part of the whole process, I thought was good.
It's part of what she does. There's not
right.
some one authentic version that she's searching
That's
for.
Right.
It's
right.
as many different versions mm-hmm. as she could find is what she would consider a success.
Yes.
You know, when I was reading the book, I came across Froggy Went a Courtin', and I learned that yeah. in grade school, and I never really realized, I never thought of it as quote-unquote folk music.
Uh-huh.
And as I went through it, I saw, well, no, there are differences in the verses and
oh,
that
yes.
kind of thing. I loved that song when I was a kid. Are there a lot of songs that a lot of us think of and know are very familiar that are true folk music, and we don't really associate it with that anymore?
Yes. Most of the songs that we learn in elementary school are folk songs. And the interesting thing about Froggy Went A-Courtin' is that actually it was a political
really?
Song. And the different characters, the frog and the mouse and the rat and everything, are actually political figures in British history.
The Ohio Folklore Society, tell us about that and about Ann Grimes' relationship with it.
All right. Well, she founded the organization in the 50s, and
this is Sarah. I have to interrupt you there. Just a slight correction of fact. She actually didn't found it, but she was an early participant. I think the founders were Tristan Coffin,
uh-huh.
Dr. Utley, and maybe Dr. Utter.
Uh-huh.
I'm not sure. Jennifer, do you know?
I think that Tristan Coffin was the first president, and uh-huh. they all were kind of together in on it.
Yes.
Along with Claude Simpson from,
right.
Right.
from Ohio State.
Yeah.
And Francis Utley from Ohio State. They were
right.
both in the English department at Ohio State.
It wasn't just folk music. It was folk lore.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I would call the first generation of folklorist, at least from my vantage point, Dr. Francis Utley
yes.
and Dr. Simpson, and then mm-hmm. Anne. And mm-hmm. the three of them were very strong participants in that organization. And Anne brought many of her informants to the meetings. And it was just a wonderful organization. They also had institutes in which people read papers. And I heard a lot of really good papers from Bill Ellis and Inez Cardoza Freeman and Dan Barnes and Tim Lloyd and a lot of those people who continued the work of the society.
Yes. One thing Mother did was to bring those people together, people that she had found who knew songs and people that were interested in researching them. And after these meetings that were often at Ohio State, people would come to our house for singing gatherings, which, we enjoyed, too.
Mm-hmm.
Let's hear another song. This is a traditional family song about Ohio soldiers in the Civil War. It's sung by Henry Lawrence Beecher of Mount Vernon, Ohio. The name of the song is Ohio Guards.
You are wanted for 100 days. Be ready in 1 minute. So General Cowan's order says there must be something in it. Oh, lads, and tackle from the plow and harness all the horses. Quick, climb the saddle on them now to join the Union forces. To arms, ye guards, Ohio calls, and louder calls the nation. Oh, then arise, ere freedom falls, arise and save the nation.
Henry Lawrence Beecher, he was very highly educated, university professor and engineer for 40 years in Mount Vernon from an illustrious family. A member of the Beecher Hancock family. He's not a descendant of Harriet Beecher Stowe, but part of the family. Blinded in a freak accident 10 years before Ann Grimes made the recording. Tell us about how she met him. Does anybody know?
That's a good question,
Jennifer. I don't know. But she often met people by performing herself, and she went mm-hmm. around usually to small venues like a Rotary Club or music groups or women's groups. And whenever she sang, she would ask, do you know a song? Or you know somebody that knows a song. And I wouldn't doubt that she met him somehow that way.
Yeah, she did perform regularly in Mount Vernon. And Mr. Beecher is one of the people who became a member of the Ohio Folklore Society, by the way.
The Ohio music was very important to Ann Grimes.
Yes, that was her central interest.
614-292-8513, or you can send us an email at allsides@wosu.org. We have one from Kelly now. She has a message about her own family, and I'm going to read it because this is a lot of the ways, as you just said, that your mother would collect music, just hearing other people's stories. My great-grandfather, W.A. Sands, was a renowned band leader in Columbus. He led the 42nd Rainbow Division Military Band during World War I under General Black Jack Pershing, then returned home and traveled the National Chautauqua Circuit with other greats like John Philip Sousa. His two sons played in his band, and his daughter played piano for the silent movie shows at the Great Southern Theater. One of the boys later formed a jazz band and played backup for Dean Martin at a few Ohio clubs. So a lot of times when Ann Grimes performed, she inspired these kind of stories in other people.
That's wonderful.
Yes.
Yeah, that's wonderful to hear, and it's exactly the way it would work, and she'd want to hear a lot more from that person. Sure.
Okay, 614-292-8513, or give us an email at allsides@wosu.org, or go to All Sides with Ann Fisher Facebook page and communicate with us that way.
This is Sarah. That reminds me of something, which was that she also sang folk songs that she considered would become a folk song. And one of those was a ballad of Roger Young. Hank, do you know that?
No.
Oh, it's about a World War II soldier who was killed from Ohio. And it was written by, Jennifer, help me out here.
Frank Lesser.
Frank Lesser.
Oh.
Yeah.
It's a wonderful ballad. And Mother sang that. And she considered it a song that would become a folk song from World War II.
I saw that in the book. I remember now.
And another one was John Beatty's, which is in the book up the Cuyahoga as far as Akron, that Ohio Canal song that was written based on canal songs. But it was written by John Beatty, who was a professor at Northwestern, I think, in music, and wrote for one of those early songsters that we had at elementary school at Upper Arlington. And, in fact, we brought that song home to Mother, and she sang it frequently. It's not in her tape collection, but it's a folk song in the sense that she felt that it would become one.
Hank, what are some of the most notable gems in this book for you?
I like the some of the child ballad that are in the collection. And I really like the songs in the middle of the book, the ballad about Pancho Villa, and then Pete Seeger song, Jefferson and Liberty. There's just too many to name that I really liked.
Well, now, let's explain what you mean by a child ballad, because my first exposure to that, I thought, it's for children, but
yes,
no, way off.
That's hardly the case, because some of them have a lot of violence in them. But Professor Francis James Child collected 305 Scottish and English ballads. He sent away to them, so it was a long, tedious process of having them go back and forth across the Atlantic Ocean. But when his book came out at the turn of the last century, he had no idea that there were hundreds of thousands of these ballads or story songs in the United States.
Let's hear a child ballad now. We're going to hear this one. It's a humorous song. It's a version of a child ballad sung by folk singer Bob Gibson, who plays guitar on this track. Let's hear from it.
Come here, honey. Baby, explain yourself to me. How come another mule in the stable where my mule ought to be? Now crazy, now silly, can't you plainly see? It's nothing but a milk cow that my grandma gave to me.
This is a bawdy song about a wife who cheats on her husband and easily explains away the evidence of the other man because her husband is always drunk. She liked bawdy songs, didn't she, Hank?
Mm-hmm. I remember one time at an Ohio Folklore Society meeting, she brought in a woman who looked like the grandmother type, like Tweety Bird's owner. This woman sang this song, Sam Hall. And there's a line in there, you're a bunch of muckers all. And the old woman sang the real swear word in it.
Uh-huh.
And I just practically fell on the floor. But some and the song about what is it? The song about the sea.
The sea crab.
The sea crab. Yeah, that's really delightful.
Yeah. Can't wait.
Yeah.
We say in the book that mother generally kept her body material from the children, but somehow we caught on to that. And it was a favorite of ours.
Yeah.
The good stuff, huh?
Yes.
Well, let's take a call now, 614-292-8513, if you'd like to call us. And, John, you're on the air. You rented a room from Ann Grimes.
I did. She had that big house in Granville, and in the summer of 1977, I had finished my freshman year at Denison University. And she rented rooms to students, as I think her daughters will remember.
Yeah, sure.
And I remember her fondly. She was as nice as could be to us students, although she was very serious about how we should treat her house and the respect we should show for the big collection of dulcimers that were everywhere. she was great to rent from. And the thing I tell the story about is her dog that played the piano. Do you remember that?
Okay, tell the story.
Well, of course, not the dog didn't play very well. It just it couldn't read music. But she had I don't know if Sarah or Jennifer remember the dog. It was my vague recollection of it. It was a small dog with a pointy nose and bat-like ears, and it would hop up on the piano bench and bang away with its front paws on the piano at all hours.
That was Jacob.
Jacob.
Yeah, I think that was Jacob, yeah.
Yeah, anyway, It was a source of great amusement for a freshman or a sophomore in college. But
hey, John, had you been exposed to folk music before you rented the room for Ann Grimes?
Well, only in the way that a college student in the 70s could be. So that kind of folk music.
Mm-hmm.
But I did listen to her sing on two or three occasions, songs that I'd never heard, older songs.
Mm-hmm.
She played the dulcimer for us on occasion. And, mostly we were just college students in and out. As long as we were quiet and behaved ourselves, she sort of let us do our own thing. But I just remember her as just a great lady. And I remember the dulcimers, and I remember Jacob the dog playing the piano.
Okay.
It was a fun summer.
Thank you, John.
You're welcome.
We're going to take a quick break now. And when we return, we'll hear some more music from Ann Grimes, from Ann Grimes' collection, and more about the book, Stories from the Ann Grimes Collection of American Folk Music, 614-292-8513 if you want to give us a call. And also, if you'd like to email us, allsides@wosu.org. We'll be right back. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on WOSU 820 NPR News.
On the next Fresh Air, what should medicine do when it can't save your life?
At the end, the way we care for people probably worsens their life and shortens their life.
Physician and journalist Atul Gawande talks about his article in The Current New Yorker. Also, Steve Carell and Jay Roach tell us about making their movie Dinner for Schmucks. Join us.
And Fresh Air begins in 20 minutes. It starts at noon right here on WOSU 820 NPR News. Hear more from WOSU anytime at WOSU.org. Listen to All Sides with Ann Fisher whenever you want with the online archive. Podcast new and archive shows from all the guests and topics. Podcast All Sides at WOSU.org/allsides.
Support for WOSU comes from the law firm Isaac Brandt Ledman & Teeter, offering legal services to Central Ohio since 1936. Isaac Brandt Ledman & Teeter, big enough to win, small enough to care. On the web at isaacbrandt.com.
77 degrees in downtown Columbus at 11:40 this morning. A few clouds lingering throughout the rest of the morning and a chance of rain. Otherwise, sunshine this afternoon and a high of 85. Clear skies tonight and a low of 60 degrees. Sunny in the morning for Friday, a few clouds in the afternoon, and a high of 82. All Sides with Ann Fisher continues. This is WOSU 820 NPR News.
Welcome back to All Sides with Ann Fisher. We just heard Jane Joan McNerlin playing the lap dulcimer. She played it in an unusual way, though. That name of that song is When the Roll is Called Up Yonder. And Jennifer, Jane Joan McNerlin played the lap dulcimer in an unusual way. How was that?
Well, she had it pegs down and the other end up against her shoulder. And as mother could find no one else who played it that way. And that's the only way Jane Jones mm-hmm. McNerlin played the instrument. And that was the way she learned it from her father and the way he learned it from his father.
Now, is your mother playing it that way on the cover of the book?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, she is.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Right.
Hank, you were talking earlier about OSU folk ballads.
Yes.
And an LP out there.
Well, it's Ohio State Ballads.
Gotcha.
And the it has one of the greatest collections of canal songs, Civil War songs, Native American battle songs, songs about presidents, Dan Emmett songs.
That Ann Grimes put together?
Uh-huh. Oh, okay. And she sings all the ballads on there. And it's a wonderful history of the state of Ohio.
And we'll post a phone number if you'd like to check out that LP on WOSU.org/allsides. But if you want, it's 1-800-FOLKWAYS if you want to go for it now. Otherwise, we'll post that on WOSU.org/allsides for your convenience. Yes.
I just might say that the Smithsonian website, you can download the pamphlet. There's a 17-page booklet that Mother wrote accompanying it. It's free, and it's available on the Smithsonian website.
And, it's the Smithsonian Folkways website.
I'm sorry, okay. Smithsonian Folkways, yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. Let's take a call right now, 614-292, if you'd like to join us. John, you're on the air. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. I would like to ask your three guests what ideas they would have to promote folk music, especially traditional folk music. It's such a minority following, and yet it is such good fun. And I would dearly love to know how we can really push this genre. The Columbus Folk Music Society is very active, mm-hmm. but they can always do with new members and always do with good followers. And it is such good fun, and I would be very interested to know their answers.
What do you think, Hank?
Well, there are quite a few venues that present open mics and have people come there and sing. And some of the performers do the traditional materials that John Locke says are such fun. Also, I would suggest joining organizations like the Columbus Folk Music Society that promote this music. And all over the state, not just in Columbus, there are folk music clubs and societies, and there are these coffee houses and venues for listening to music.
And there is also an annual weekend devoted to folk music.
It's the Central Ohio Folk Festival.
That's right.
And there are national artists that perform in the evening, and there are workshops all through the day. And people can come and not only learn how to play an instrument, but learn about certain genres of music, like cowboy music and blues and the ballads. And
they just have jams, too,
yes,
informal jams. And mm-hmm. I think sometimes you can learn so much from just watching that.
Yes.
Too. The Family Connection. starts when your mother was just a child herself. And I just thought this was really interesting. She writes about how everybody's saying all the time, and she also tells stories from her grandmother, Adeline Palmer Hughes Hagerman, who said they sang everywhere, everything they did, but and referred to it as not planned singing. And I loved that they would just be sitting around and start singing together. Can you talk a little bit more about that, Jennifer or Sarah?
Well, talk about things we left out again. There was a passage that great-grandmother wrote about where the boys in the family were plowing and or harvesting the fields, and they sang while they did that, and people would come around, and one person told her father that it was the most beautiful music he'd ever heard, those boys working, harvesting the fields and singing. And mother remembers going back to reunions where they sang an 8-part harmony, our family hymn. Grandmother happened to catch that very well in the written word, but people did sing while they did things, and I think maybe that's a little different today.
And it's probably why so many of these songs were preserved in the first place.
Yes.
Because if we relied on, who knows them today off the top of their head?
That's right. And one of my mother's favorite quotes was from John Boddicker, who was a font of bawdy songs. And he told mother, if only I could go courting again, I could remember these better.
We're going to switch gears now a little bit and listen to a very moving song about the Underground Railroad. It's sung by, I think you pronounce her name, Neva Randolph. She was the daughter of freed slaves and was born in 1874.
When the Lord himself shall come, straining every nerve, get your ticket ready, prepare to get on board, for your station's gonna be changed after a while. Oh, your station's gonna be changed after a while. Oh, my station's gonna be changed after a while. When the Lord himself shall come and shall say your work is done, oh, your station will be changed after a while.
There is a remarkable story behind this recording. Ann Grimes had wanted to visit Neva Randolph for many years and arrived in 1953. Can Jennifer, you or Sarah, tell that story?
Sarah?
Jennifer, you want to go ahead?
You go ahead.
Okay. Mother arrived in Murray City, Ohio, and only to find that there were a lot of cars outside the house. And she went to the door, and her daughter informed her that her mother was on her deathbed, and therefore all these family and friends had gathered. And so mother said, well, we've come this long way. May we just come in and pay our respects? And the daughter said, okay. And so she did, and Neva Randolph was flat out on her bed. And mother said that she began to sing some ballads like Barbara Allen, some really classics. And Neva Randolph picked up and told her that she knew those songs, or worldly songs, as she called them, but her mother had never allowed them to sing. And she started singing. And she just picked right up and sang. And mother said, well, can we get our tape recorder? And so she recorded Neva Randolph. And by the time they were leaving, she was sitting up, perky, and saying, please come back. So
So that is Neva Randolph basically on her deathbed singing that we just heard.
Well, that was the situation. Mm-hmm. I think she did live beyond that, but that was the situation. You can hear how powerful and wonderful her voice was. In fact, there was a little skip at the beginning. For some reason, it's the only tape of in the mother's collection. There's some kind of skip there. And we wondered, should we include it because of that? And we decided we would, even though there's a technical glitch, just because it's such a fine song. And it's really a gospel song, but obviously the lyrics relate also. And Neva Randolph herself told Mother she associated it with the Underground Railroad.
Hank, did you want to add something?
No.
Okay. 614-292-8513, or you can email us at allsides@wosu.org. We have a few minutes left in the program with Sarah Grimes, Jennifer Grimes Kay, and Hank Arbaugh, all of whom know, obviously, by birth. Ann Grimes, the stories from the Ann Grimes collection of American folk music is the topic today. On the front of the book, Pete Seeger remarks, Ann's work lives on. What a wonderful book this is. I'm proud to be a part of it. And joining us now, Jeff, you're on the air. Welcome to the show. You're Ann Grimes' nephew.
Yes, I am. Hello, Sarah and Jennifer. It's Jeffrey.
Hi, Jeffrey.
Hi, Jeff.
It is such a wonderful thing to hear you folks talking about your mother, and look forward to the book, and have many fond memories of the songs that your mom used to sing, and especially, and I'm sure you remember the repartee between she and my dad on their discussions of her music. So
well, tell us about that, Jeff.
Well, my father was a little bit of a snob about things, I would say the least, and he probably didn't really appreciate her music, but deep down inside, I know he's very proud of her.
Okay. Was that the case a lot? And Sarah and Jennifer, your mother was an accomplished musician. She was classically trained. She was from a nice upper middle class family, well educated. How did she get over the snob factor?
Oh, I don't. I think she was a snobber. I think that's how she got over.
That should be a lesson for us all.
Yeah. Mother loved music. She loved any kind of music, and her listening would absolutely change when she heard music. It became very concentrated and profound, and it could be any kind of music. So I think she came from that place, and she so appreciated the people that are in her collection for their fine singing, their sure pitch of harmony, and their sure pitch and harmony mm-hmm. and sense of rhythm. And I think that's the place she came from. People could think what they wanted to, but Jennifer, do you have any thoughts about that?
I think she loved, well, actually she loved all kinds of music
mm-hmm.
too. I mean, the classical music, she played ragtime, wonderful piano ragtime, and another place, where folk songs come from, and she was a camp counselor.
Mm-hmm.
And camp songs were something that she was introduced to early.
Yeah.
What about rock music?
Loved it.
Loved
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
She saw the
rock on.
The roots.
Yes.
Oh, absolutely.
Appreciated what they were doing. Appreciated a good Elvis Presley ballad.
Yeah. No. Yes, absolutely. And some she related. I think it was Lorena. No, maybe not. But one of the songs that Elvis sang, she researched its folk roots.
Mm-hmm.
And speaking of that, I spoke to the son of or grandson of John Boddicker, who heard John Boddicker, who contributed so much to our mother's collection, and he said that listening to John Boddicker was like listening to the contemporary rap musicians, because
sure.
they're telling a story and they're doing it rhythmically, and it's a common communal kind of thing where people understand the background of what's going on. So I thought that was very interesting.
That is. 614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org if you want to send us an email. I'm wondering, do folks in Columbus know Ann Grimes well, Hank?
I don't think most of the younger people do, but the academicians at Ohio State, whenever I talk to some of my friends there, they always bring up the subject of Ann Grimes. But I don't think the younger people do.
Why, Sarah and Jennifer, was it important to your mother to save the stories of the people she recorded?
It was part and parcel of the experience that that these songs were contributed from the history, the families of these people. So she always, I remember late in her life, I asked her to sing a song I really liked, There Is a Little Woman, and she said, oh, that's Faye's song, meaning that Faye Wemmer's song from whom mm-hmm. she collected it. Faye lived in Columbus for many years. And it also, she didn't like the idea of the music being divorced from people or their community, that is, people taking songs and using them for commercial value as objects, rather than being connected to the community. Jennifer, do you have any thoughts on that?
I think the context was just absolutely key to her. And,
yeah.
And that's the way she wanted to present this book.
Yeah.
Within the context. And it, you know, there's so much more to the collection, but this will be hopefully a context for further research and study of the collection.
We're going to go to another song, but first I wanted to say that her collection of dulcimers, or most of it, is at the Smithsonian now.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And there's just a place at the Smithsonian where are they on display, or
on display, but they're at the National Museum of American History.
Okay.
And they are there. They are available for study there.
Did you keep one or two of them?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We kept her performance dulcimer, which was copied from one of the original dulcimers that she used during the 80s and 90s.
Okay. Let's hear another one, Jefferson and Liberty. We're going to hear his campaign song for Thomas Jefferson when he was running for president in 1800. Ann Grimes recorded Pete Seeger singing and playing the banjo at a hootenanny party backstage at the National Folk Festival in St. Louis in 1952.
No lordling here with gorge and jaw shall ring from industry the food nor fiery bigots holy laws lay waste our fields and streets with blood. Rejoice, Columbia's sons, rejoice to tyrants, never bend the knee, but join with heart and soul and voice for Jefferson and Liberty.
Wow. It was emotional. They had to sing with emotion, right?
Yes. And conviction, I think. But Hank mentioned that occasion at the 1952 Folk Festival in St. Louis.
Mm-hmm.
Also, Jenny Wills Vincent is one of our favorites, too, Hank. You mentioned mm-hmm. her. Yeah. I Am a Soldier of Pancho Villa.
Right.
So, you know, it went from local areas to people gathering on national levels and bringing all their traditions together. And we do have... from that time, Mother recorded Pete Seeger and several other people that we couldn't include that are in our collection, but we did include Jenny Wells Vincent and also Hangman from May Kennedy McCord, who was from the Ozarks and quite a prominent singer and collector.
What do you do with the rest of the collection?
What do we do?
Yeah, what will you do with it?
Well, the original tapes are now at the American Folklife Center.
Okay.
At the Library of Congress. And many, many papers related to them are also there. And she had an individual file on each contributor that she kept with her always. And those will be soon going to the American Folklife Center. So they are available there. They will be available there for study for anyone who is interested.
Yeah.
That is all the time we have. I want to thank Sarah Grimes and Jennifer Grimes Kay, daughters of Ann Grimes, topic of discussion today, and her new book, Stories from the Ann Grimes Collection of American Folk Music. Thanks so much, Sarah and Jennifer.
Thank you, Ann.
And also Hank Arbaugh, music scholar and performer in Columbus area. Thank you, Hank, for joining us and helping us out.
You're welcome.
That's all the time we have for All Sides with Ann Fisher. This is listener-supported WOSU and WOSU HD 820 Columbus and streaming on the web at WOSU.org, WOSU 820 NPR News.